here, Paul bring out another reasons. That's why it's called a mystery. The second reason, which is the first aspect of the mystery of Israel, that Israel is blinded to the gospel is because it's preordained by God. Paul wants the Gentile nations to know is that, hey guys, don't be cocky. Yes, it's true. Israel is currently being rejected because of her own fault, because she rejected the Messiah. She trying to find self-righteousness in accordance to her own way. But there is a second reason. And because of this reason, you Gentile has been benefited. He said, basically, chapter 11, verse 8 to 11, Paul says, blindness of Israel to the gospel is because it's partly ordained by God. And that's where God, Paul broke out this whole salvation plan. Because Israel is being blinded currently, the gospel comes to the Gentiles. But at the same time, Paul also addressed another issue, which is the core and responsibility of the Gentiles church. Because Israel is preordained to be blinded to the gospel and reject the Messiah, so that the gospel will go to the Gentile nation. Now the Gentile nation is being saved. That's why Paul said, her fall is the riches to the Gentile nation. But he said, he reminded the Gentile nation, you have a responsibility. Right now, your responsibility is to provoke Israel back to jealousy so that Israel will call upon the name of Jesus. And Paul said this, there is a greater issue. The greater issue is more than just Israel coming back to salvation, which is important. But the greater issue is, Paul said this, if their fall will bring riches to the Gentile, their fullness will bring resurrection of the dead. You know what's resurrection of the dead? He's not talking about raising the dead, because I read many books where they talk about when Israel come back to Messiah, you will bring in the greatest revival basing on that verse. No, that's not what the verse is talking about, which is partly true. This verse is talking about if Israel return to the Messiah, you know what is resurrection of the dead? It talks about if Israel return to the Messiah, you will usher in the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus come back the second time, what will happen? First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says what? The dead will first be raised. Then the church will be raptured. And Jesus will come back and establish the kingdom of God here on earth. That's why he said, guys, I want you to understand. That is the first aspect of the mystery of Israel. Turn with me to Romans 11, verse 7. Verse 7. This is so huge. That's why we've got to keep praying and standing and also provoking Israel to jealousy. You know, we pray a lot about Joel 2, verse 28 to 32. You know that Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32 is not for the nation of Israel. It's for the Gentile church. Because it's about end time. And one of the reasons God promised Joel 2 great outpouring for the Gentiles church is to provoke Israel to jealousy. You know how to provoke Israel to jealousy in the biblical way? Not by preaching the gospel in words, by performing signs and wonders. Because if you read 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul make it very clear. The Greek looks for what? Wisdom. The Jews look for miracle. The way to provoke Israel to jealousy is by performing signs, wonders, and miracles. So that when you see the Gentile church in the last days, parted the Red Sea, called down fire, and so on, you know what will remind them of? Moses leading nation of Israel out of Egypt. Say, who is this God? And they will be provoked to jealousy. And the last verse of Joel 2, the last statement says what? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are to provoke them so that they will call on the name of the Lord. Remember, last week I shared on Romans 10, Paul quoted on this verse. Remember? If you don't remember, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse that Paul quoted exactly from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are to provoke them to jealousy. This is the that's where Paul talked about the restoration and the first aspect of the mystery of the of Israel. Because Israel is ordained to reject the gospel, and because of that, the gospel will come to the Gentile. Now, the responsibility of the Gentile church is to provoke her to jealousy, and she will call on the name of the Lord to be saved, and because of that, will usher in the second coming and the resurrection of the dead. That's what Paul talks about, Romans 11, verse 8 to 11. Let's run through verse by verse. Actually, I really break down for you. Let's just read through. Verse 8. Just as it is written, again, Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10. In fact, God already prophesied in the Old Testament that Israel will be blinded to the gospel, preordained by himself. There's such assurance. This part of the salvation plan of God, not just for Israel, but for the entire world and mankind. That's why, at the end of, if we really understand the mystery of Israel, we but have to marvel at the greatness of God. He quotes Isaiah chapter 29, where prophet Isaiah prophesied that Israel will be blinded by God. It's preordained by God. Verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor. That means blindness. They can't see. Eyes that they shall not see, should not see. Ears that they should not hear. To this very day. It's quote from a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 29. Then you go on. Now he quote David. David also prophesied, which from Psalms 69. Let their table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow their back away. Again, Paul quote Psalm 69 to state the case that the blindness of Israel to the gospel is preordained by God. Partly, of course, they are responsible for the rejection. Verse 11, now Paul talks about the rejection of Israel is not final. It's not final. When he talks about it's the responsibility of the Gentile church to provoke Israel to jealousy. Verse 11. I say then, I like Romans. If you read the book of Romans, one of the two words that Paul repeated the most is certainly not. Certainly not. Because a lot of times he's trying to say that your case is wrong. Your understanding is wrong. Your theology is wrong. From Romans 2 all the way to Romans 11, he says so many, certainly not. Okay, I tell you, read, it's like, oh yes, I got it wrong, certainly not. Okay. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? He's addressing the issue of rejection that is not final, because the Gentiles thought that, first they thought that, at the moment right now, the salvation plan is shelved. So Paul said, no, it's not total. Now, they thought that, it's being replaced. Now the church replaced. The rejection is final. The church has taken over the role and the call of Israel. And Paul said, no, it's not final. See, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. He said, it's not true. I tell you, this is so important for many Gentile church right now who embrace the replacement theory. Because this replacement theory will lead us to anti-Semitism. That's what happened to the German church during World War II. They stood with Hitler. Because Hitler, based on this theology that God has rejected the Jewish people right now and they deserve to be persecuted. Actually, that's what he built. Surprisingly, not surprisingly, some of you all know. Hitler actually built that, took that theology from, guess who? Martin Luther. At the end of Martin Luther's life, he became anti-Semitic, unfortunately. And we church need to understand God has not written off Israel. Because when we go further, Paul makes a very strong case. God's call for Israel is irrevocable. He said this, certainly not. That's when he talked about the mystery of whole Israel, the plan, the salvation plan of God for mankind, and the responsibility of the Church of Jesus Christ to provoke Israel to jealousy. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy. They say, guys, now this is your responsibility. Let me tell you clearly, the call of Israel is not final. The rejection of Israel for her election is not final. And your responsibility is to provoke them to jealousy. Is to provoke them to jealousy. And then you go on. Let me tell you why Israel is being rejected. So that salvation will come to the Gentiles. Then he's trying to build another case that, guys, Israel's fall become a blessing to the Gentiles. When Israel returned to the Messiah in fullness, you cannot imagine the kind of riches of glory, because it's going to usher in Jesus. That's why I say, do all you can. That's why it's so important for us, because the Bible talks about the end time church has to hasten the second coming of Jesus. One of the ways for us to hasten the second coming to Jesus is to provoke Israel to jealousy. I mean, not poke, but pray for them. Pray till Jerusalem is being established. Verse 12, Paul said this. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. And Paul is going to bring a comparison that, hey guys, you don't even understand. You don't fully understand. Therefore, is riches for you. Salvation as a result go to the Gentiles. You don't even understand. How much more if they get saved as a whole nation. He's kind of like trying to build a case for the climax. Verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul makes it very clear. He said, yes, I'm called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But two things I have not forgotten. One is bringing the gospel to the poor. And one is I still want to remember my call to provoke Israel to jealousy. No, he doesn't. Is it? God's heart is very clear for the church. No matter what you are called to, whether you are called to preach to the youth, to the young adult, to the rich, to the poor, to the Europeans, to the Americans, to the Asian, and so on, whatever you do, you must remember to provoke Israel to jealousy. Because Paul himself is very clear. His call to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But yet, everything he do, he want to provoke Israel to jealousy, because he understand the implication of it. He said this, verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. You know, on the surface, you think that Paul is getting cocky. I'm magnifying his ministry. He's trying to say that there's a reason why I'm trying to magnify my ministry. No, magnify is not glorifying himself, but magnify is that he wants to make the ministry so huge with the glory of God, it will provoke Israel to jealousy. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, which is referring to the Jewish people, and save some of them. Hopefully, some of them may be saved. And he goes to verse 15, where he talked about the impact if Israel returned to the Messiah fully. If Israel returned to Jesus as a nation. Verse 15. For if they being cast away is a reconciling of the world. That means if they being cast away, the world gets saved. The Great Commission comes to the nations. He said this. What will their acceptance be but life from the date. And this is not talking about increase of revival power, signs and wonders. Of course, there will be increase of power, raising the dead, signs and wonders. This is talking about the resurrection of the dead. Go and study carefully. Search the scripture. Search commentary. They all agree. It's not referring to increase of revival and so on and so on. It's talking about resurrection of the dead, second coming, rapture of the saints, Jesus coming back. This is in line with Matthew chapter 23, verse 39. Remember, Jesus said this to Israel. Oh, how I wish that you will come to me, but because you have rejected me, you will be scattered for a season. But there will come a time that you will cry out unto me, and you will see me again if you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if Israel gets saved as a nation, she will cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this verse will come to pass. That is the core of the Gentile nation right now. See, one of the core, not the only, one of the core of the Gentile nation is to provoke Israel to jealousy. Is to provoke Israel to jealousy. Let's move on. Verse 16 to verse 24. Romans 11. Verse 16 to verse 24. At the same time where Paul addressing the rejection of Israel is not final, that means it's not totally, finally right off, they are forever, will not come back. Paul bring up this issue of that Israel will ultimately be grafted back. He makes it very clear. Israel will be grafted back. In fact, at the same time, he warned the Gentile nation not to be cocky, because our cockiness may lead us to the losing of our salvation. Verse 16, talking about ingrafting back of Israel. I'm going to bring out a point that is huge, especially for Gentile church, about this grafting in. Verse 16, Paul began to talk about why Israel is being rejected and how Israel will be engrafted back. And at the same time, the rejection of Israel also caused the Gentile church to be grafted into the trees. Verse 16. For if the first fruit is holy, the lamb is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Okay, on the surface, it seems very confusing. But what Paul is trying to say, he's basically quoting from, if you want to write down, Numbers chapter 15. Verse 17 to 21. Numbers chapter 15. Verse 17 to 21. What Paul is trying to say is that God has not rejected Israel totally. And basing on the patriarch, which is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Israel is still considered holy unto the Lord. Because this verse, basically Paul is quoting from Numbers chapter 15, verse 17 to 21, is Israel is about to enter into the promised land. And God gave Moses an instruction to the nation of Israel. As they enter into the promised land, they got to offer their bread, the first fruit of their bread. That means 10% of their bread unto God. And when they offer the 10% of the bread unto the Lord, the rest of the bread will forever consider holy in the sight of God. So basically what Paul is trying to tell the Gentile nation is this. Yes, Israel has been rejected. But because basing on the early fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, who have been faithful and holy unto the Lord, forever they will be considered as holy. And because of that, God will graft Israel back. I know many people say, yeah, that's unfair. Again, you have to go back to Romans 9. That's the issue of election. It's not for you to argue with God, because he's a potter, you are the clay. He decides how he wants this to work out. That's why he says, verse 16. For if, you see, it's all by grace. It's all by election. We need to understand that. And this truth need to hit us. So that at the end of the day, we will be woo and wow about God, not about Israel. You know, we got it all wrong. Because everything about Israel and everything about every culture and custom about Israel is to point us to God. That's where we got it wrong. It's like the feast. The feast at the end, the feast of Israel, there are six or seven feasts of the Jewish nation, is to point us to God. Doesn't matter whether you eat or don't eat. It's about, if you eat it, you still don't know God, you miss the point. It's about pointing us to God. That's what Israel is all about. Verse 16. For the first fruit is holy. He's giving an illustration. For the first fruit is holy. The lamb, that means the rest of the dough, is also holy. He's trying to remind the Gentile nation, don't think that God considers Israel is unclean right now. But because of the first fruit, Israel is a holy nation unto him. He go on. If the root is holy, so are the branches. It's not based on the branch. He's going to come and address the Gentiles. It's based on the root. It's because of the root. Of course, the ultimate root is who? It's Jesus. That is the ultimate root. Then he went on to verse 17, which now he's shifted the attention a little bit to address the Gentile believers. Because Gentile believers, Paul is concerned for the Gentile believers. They have come to a point of becoming a little bit cocky. And the cockiness will lead them to arrogance. And the arrogance, I said earlier, will lead them to passive resistance, then aggressive resistance, and eventually anti-Semitism. That's where Paul said, I warn you. Let me warn you. Okay, verse 17. And if some of the branches being broken off, he's talking about the nation of Israel currently, if some of the branches being broken off, you being a wild olive tree, which is referring to the Gentile nations, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Basically, Paul is trying to make a point clear. Say, guys, you must be clear about this. Your root is a Jewish root. We need to remember our faith comes from the Jew. Our Messiah is a Jew. So we have to remember the Jewish nation, because that is our root. That's why more and more, one of the things that God is restoring right now, he's restoring understanding of Jewish root. Because the gospel will be so much more richer if we understand the Jewish root. Because of study of this Romans 9, 10, 11, lead me to study something about Israel. And I realized, wow, we will never fully understand about second coming if we do not understand some things about Israel. Because everything about God's plan for his first coming and second coming is engrafted into the custom and the feast of Israel. Everything is in the Jewish root. Let me give you an illustration. I got so excited because I'm going to teach on the book of Revelation. I'm going to go a little bit in-depth on the feast. People say, are we going to take the feast now? I say, no, I haven't come to the point. But more of studying the importance of the feast, because our root is a Jewish root. When we understand and have a greater picture of it, we actually understand the heart of God and the plan of God. Let me just give you an illustration. God gave Israel seven feasts. Actually, it's about six, because two is quite closely linked together. Feast of Passover, they call it Passover, Pasa. What's the second one? Unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is called what? Don't forget about the Jewish name. I remember, but I forgot again. The second is the unleavened bread. The third is the feast of first fruit. The fourth is the feast of Pentecost. The fifth is a feast of trumpet. The sixth is the the feast of Day of Atonement. Seven is the feast of tabernacle. Tabernacle. Do you know that the feast is divided into spring feast and fall feast? That means spring is spring, fall is autumn. The spring feast point to the first coming. The fall feast point to the second coming. And if you understand the timeline correctly, you roughly know when Jesus is coming back again. There are four, actually four, about it's three because two is quite closely together. There are four spring feasts, the Passover. What does Passover represent? Jesus is now for us the Passover lamb. He have come and died for us on the cross. He has paid for our sin. Why is the second one? Passover and the unleavened bread is about the same. Why is the second one? The first fruit. You know what is the feast of the first fruit? The feast of the first fruit point to the resurrection of Jesus. Has Jesus been resurrected? They all know. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They know Jesus is the resurrection. I mean, we know. The Jews still do not know. What is the third feast? The feast of Pentecost. Shavuot, right? It's called Shavuot. The feast of Pentecost. Has Pentecost come? God has poured out what? His Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Four feasts. There are three, four feasts. The first one is the feast of trumpet. Do you know that the Jewish people know that at the feast of trumpet, Jesus will come back? That's what it is about. Feast of trumpet. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Every time they partake the feast of trumpet, they are expecting the coming of the Messiah. You know what's the next feast? The Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. The day where the whole nation of Israel will return to the Messiah. You know, you can fit this closely in the book of Revelation and the end time plans of God. What's the last one? The feast of Tabernacle. You know what the feast of Tabernacle is all about? The Gentiles will call it Marriage Supper of the Lamb. The Jewish people will call it Feast of the Tabernacle, Sukkot. The Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle is the inauguration of the Messianic Kingdom. We call it the Millennium Kingdom. It's all couched in the Jewish custom, Jewish tradition, and Jewish feast. That's why we need to know our Jewish root. That's what Paul is talking about. But he's addressing a greater issue. Verse 18, he said this. Do not boast against the branches. Because Paul is concerned right now because the Gentile church has become arrogant and cocky. He said, let me warn you. Because this is true. Because that is an issue. It can lead to the issue of salvation. Because we know, I taught it many times. If we stand against Israel, it's an issue of losing our salvation. Matthew chapter 25, I can't remember the verse. It's about the parable of the sheep and goat. Say, do not boast against the branches. If you boast, kind of like warning them, you are getting cocky. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Say, hey, don't think that now you have replaced Israel. Your root is still what? Jewish root forever. Our root is Jewish root. Because God made covenant with who? The Jews. Even Jesus says what? Salvation comes from the Jews. That is our root. Say, how can you branch laugh at the root? The branch do not support the root. The root support the branch. Verse 19. You will say then, branches were, Paul, actually this, if you read carefully, there's a sense of cockiness in the Gentiles nation. It's like, you will say then, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. It's like God planned to reject Israel so that the Gentile nation will replace the nation of Israel. And Paul said, I warn you. That's where you go to verse 20. He said, well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. and you stand by faith. See, it's all by faith, because they were broken up because of unbelief. You, because of faith and grace. And Paul warned them, do not be arrogant, or do not be haughty, but fear. Say, fear. You know why? One of the things is that we have to have a healthy reverence about God's choice for Israel. Say, fear. Fear God when you understand this truth. Because Paul is going to build on it, because you know why Paul says, if the natural branch can be broken off, God will not spare you if you become proud. So fear. Fear. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Just like Israel got rejected because of self-righteousness and also arrogance. Our arrogance and our self-righteousness. This is the same as self-righteousness, because we think we are better than Jewish people. You know what is self-righteousness? Self-righteousness is when you think you are more righteous than another person. I have earned God's salvation. God has chosen me because I'm righteous. That is self-righteous. That's Paul. That's why Paul warned them. Hey, it's the same with Israel. Because of their self-righteousness and their arrogance, because first of all, the Jewish people looked down on the Gentiles. Because of their arrogance, they were broken off. Now you have become arrogant. Watch out, or you will fall. Verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Understand this. Hopefully, you know the goodness of God and the severity of God that caused you to be humble, that you will not become haughty. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail. That means learn from Israel. Learn from Israel. But towards you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. Paul warned them, you can be cut off too. Verse 23. Now he's talking about Israel that will be grafted back. Israel will be grafted back into the kingdom. Verse 23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24. For if they were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more were these who are natural branches will be grafted into their own olive tree? You know, Paul is giving an interesting illustration, because if you understand grafting of the tree, generally you do not graft a wild branch into a natural branch. You graft a natural branch into a wild olive tree, so that you still draw on the minerals and whatever of the wild olive tree, you still produce good fruits. But Paul is saying that this is totally different, contrary, because of the grace of God. And because God works a plan that totally reverse, He plant a wild olive tree into a natural branch. He will be able to plant the natural branch back to the natural branch. Just give you a thought, because Paul is addressing another interesting issue. Go and think about it. A natural branch can be grafted back into a natural tree. A wild branch cut off, where do you graft yourself back to? A wild tree. See, Israel will have a second chance. The Gentile nation will not have a second chance. This is what Paul is talking about in verse 24. Israel will have a second chance. The Gentile nations will not have a second chance. That's why I say fear. Watch. If you lose your salvation, you are being cut off from the natural tree, that's it. Because you are wild, where are you going to plant yourself to? But for Israel, natural branch can always be grafted back into the natural trees. Verse 25. That's where Paul talks about the mystery of Israel's salvation. I mean, the mystery of Israel. And I call it a second apostolic burden of Paul. The second apostolic burden that we want for Israel. I share many, many times. The reason why we study the Romans 9, 10, 11 is not just to know about Israel, but we pray that through that, God will impart an apostolic burden for us for a few things. One is apostolic burden for Israel, so that we will pray for her salvation. Two, which is Romans chapter 11, verse 25, an apostolic burden to teach on the mystery of Israel to the Gentile church. Because the Gentile church needs to know the correct understanding of what Israel is about. Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Hey, I don't want you to be ignorant, which I shared before. Paul is concerned because they are getting into cockiness and wrong theology, and that become a burden. And more for the end time church, we need to preach the correct mystery of Israel to the Gentile church. Say, you should not be wise in your own opinion. It must not be based on your own opinion. Blindness, then he began to talk about, build on the mystery of Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Say, this is preordained by God. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentile has come. He said, guys, let me tell you the second aspect of the mystery of Israel. The first aspect of Israel is this. Israel is blinded, preordained by God. Second, blindness in part will happen to Israel, which is the first one. Second one is this. But Israel will begin to see when the fullness of Gentiles will come into salvation, which is the second aspect of the mystery of Israel. The third aspect, which we need to know, verse 26. 10 more minutes. Let me go fast. Verse 26. The third aspect of the mystery of Israel, which is all Israel were eventually being saved. All Israel were eventually being saved. That's why when we pray, we're not just praying for some will be saved, but the whole nation of Israel will be saved. Again, this is quite different from the Gentile nations. No Gentile nation on this earth will be 100% saved. Because when you talk about the completion of Great Commission, it's not talking about everybody gets saved. It's talking about gospel being preached to every nation, and every nation have people who enter into the kingdom of God. There will be only one nation that will be completely saved. That is the nation of Israel. Only one nation. Verse 26. Again, we don't know how many nations, I mean, every nation, how many people will be saved. That's why it's called the will of God. We just preach the gospel. It doesn't matter whether we know how many. Okay. Verse 26. And so, all Israel will be saved. The nation of Israel will be 100% saved. This will not happen until Jesus comes back. Okay, go and read Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. Because Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14 give us one of the clearest picture of what is going to happen to Israel in the last days and how she will be miraculously saved. I don't know, by one day or a few days. Suddenly, the whole nation will get saved. That's what Romans chapter 11, verse 26 is all about. Verse 28. Again, Paul built on the mystery of Israel. Another mystery of Israel is this. God still loves Israel. He still has great zeal for Israel. Even right now. You know that? Theologically, if you read the book of Daniel, the only reason why Israel is very well protected right now, it's not because of USA. It's not because of her army. It's because God has stationed an angel to watch over her. You know which angel? Michael. Michael. If you read Daniel chapter 12, the only reason in the last days nations is able to invade and nearly take over the nation of Israel is because for a season, by the sovereignty of God, God asked Michael to leave nation of Israel for a season. Because God has great zeal for Israel, which is what Romans chapter 11 verse 28 is all about. Just give you a sidetrack, okay? If you understand about angelic activities, every time Michael shows up, it's always about Israel in the Bible. And it's in our time too. So unlikely Michael may show up. If Michael shows up in our house, we better start praying for Israel. Because every time angel Michael is being mentioned in the Bible, or angel Michael is being mentioned, it's always about Israel. It's about Israel. God is not just send angel Michael to you to talk about George Bush. You know, no more George Bush. It's, what's the guy's name? Obama. It's always about Israel. You know why? Because this is what Paul talked about in verse 28. God has great zeal for Israel. Verse 28. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. I mean, because of the gospel, now they are enemies. But concerning election, that means they are still elected. Their rejection is not final, neither is their rejection is total. Concerning their election, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. Again, based on the patriarchs, God loved them. God has great zeal for them. That's why we need to have great zeal for Israel, because God still loved Israel a lot. I shared earlier, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. God has great zeal for Israel. You know, the book of Zechariah is about God's zeal for Israel and God's zeal for the house of prayer. God has great zeal for Israel. Verse 29. Which talk about God's call for Israel is irrevocable. It's so clear. We just have to read this verse and we know that church has not replaced the calling of the nation of Israel. Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The gifts and the call of God is irrevocable. I'm going to end the last few verses. Now, three more minutes. Last few verses. Verse 30, Romans 11, verse 30. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is two litmus tests of you fully or truly understand the mystery of Israel. You see, Paul didn't end by just praising God and why. It's because he discovered the mystery of Israel that awed him and struck in. This is two litmus tests of us understanding the mystery of Israel. If you fully understand the mystery of Israel, that does not mean that you will change your name to Jewish name, or you will sing Jewish song, or you begin to pray Yeshua, you don't call Jesus. The true test of we understanding the mystery of Israel is Romans 11 verse 30 to Romans 12 verse 1. Two tests. Let me just read through and tell you what it is. Verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy to their obedience. It's like God, Paul is running through this whole salvation plan of God. Say that you were once obedient, but you have obtained mercy. Remember the word mercy. Okay? You have obtained mercy because Israel has become disobedient. Wow. Next, he go on. This is not the end. He go on. Even so, this also has been disobedient, that through the mercy show you, now they also obtain mercy. It's like Paul is saying this. First of all is, because Israel is being rejected, now the gospel come to Gentiles, and Gentiles obtain mercy from God. Then next, because you have obtained mercy, And because of you obtain mercy, it's real true, the Gentile nation also have obtained mercy. Next one, verse 32. For God has committed them all to disobedience that they might have mercy to God. I say, it's like God said, Paul said, don't you realize it? It's part of God's plan causing them to be blinded, to be currently rejected, so that the whole world will obtain mercy of God. And because Paul has a realization of this whole mystery of God, you know what his response? He's awestruck, marveled, and awed by God. That's why he began to break into worship. He said this, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his way past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? And of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory ever. Amen. When you fully understand the mystery of God, you were wowed by God. You will be even more fascinated and awed by this great God. Not just woo and wow about Israel, but wow, God. There is a great plan. You are great. You are marvelous, magnificent, splendor, majesty. That's why I said right from the beginning when I started teaching this Israel thing a few Fridays ago, on the scale of 0 to 10, how much I understand the mystery of Israel, I said probably 1.5. I think that's not too bad. Only 1 to 5. But I want to keep climbing to, if not 10, close to 10. The reason is not just, of course, the reason is to understand Israel, to love Israel, to pray for Israel. The reason is so that I will be wowed by God, that I will break down in worship. You know, I shared a few Fridays ago again, only 3 times in the Bible that saints fell down to worship God flat on the floor. 3 times in the Bible. 2 times in the book of Revelation, which I say many, many times. One is Revelation chapter 4. When John and the 24 elders saw the one who sat on the throne, who is in charge, and he uphold the whole universe, and he has a great plan, and he's in control. A great God, a beautiful God. Everybody prostrate and fall down and worship. The second time, it's Revelation chapter 19. Remember? Verse 1 to verse 10. With John was given the revelation of the mature bride. And he fell down to worship. Remember? Because he realized, wow, this is who I am. Eventually, I will be this mature bride. The third time is here. The third time is here. You know, that's why I don't think we fully grasp and understand about this beautiful God who sits on the throne, because it will lead us to worship. Neither do we fully understand about this being the bride of Christ, because wow, wow, I am the bride. Now it's also, I'm the bride. We get a little bit excited, but it doesn't, our heart don't move as much. That's why it's so important for us to go deep in the book of Revelation. I have no time. I wish I have time. You see, what? Anyway, I'm here. Might as well say this. You know, the goal of the book of Revelation is to produce in our heart a yearning for Jesus to come back again. That is the goal of the book of Revelation. I have time. If I have time tomorrow, I'm going to address this to all of us as a house. Let's go deep in the book of Revelation. By and large, the church of Jesus Christ don't have much desire for Jesus to come back. Let's be true. Let's be honest. It's a theory. Do we really want Jesus to come back? I don't think so. Do you know why? We have not understand, because we don't understand the book of Revelation. Because when we understand the book of Revelation, really understand, not talking about chapter 1 is what, chapter 2 is what, chapter 3 is what, and all the way, but when it really grabs this book, we will want Jesus to come back, because wow, I didn't realize This is the Jesus that I give myself unto. I know I always say this. There's only two generations of people really want Jesus to come back. Two generations, all right? Believe and one. One is the apostles' age. The next one will be us. You know why? You know why the apostles... No, I always thought, which I tell myself, I'm wrong. After I went through the book of Revelation again, that's why I'm excited to be teaching tomorrow, because I really want to. There are two books that we need to know, Song of Song and the book of Revelation. There's a reason why the New Testament church, the epistle, talks so much about second coming. There is a reason. I always thought that they got it wrong. That's not true. How can Paul get it wrong? No, there's a reason. You know why they yearn so much about the second coming? You must understand that they are the first century church. Their knowledge and freshness of Jesus is really fresh. We are about 2,000 years later. Jesus is a theory. We have no desire, no understanding of this man who is beautiful, who is kind, who is merciful, who is good. That's why we don't yearn for him to come back. But the first century church is different. They say, oh, that means like Paul telling William, let me tell you, I met this Jesus on the road to Damascus. Or John, James, and Peter. Oh, we have sailed across the Galilee Sea. This man, wow. And everybody here say, wow, I want this man to come back. That's why their hope is always for the second coming. Because they understand that there's something much more. Let me just give you a thought. You know, I like this global green thing or whatever. But we miss the point. No, I'm not saying that we don't want the world to become better. There is a better world that is coming. That's when Jesus returns. But we don't get it because the reality of who Jesus is and his second coming and what it means is very little for us. That's why we are not excited by it. We are not exactly. If you read the last verse of the book of Revelation, there is that great excitement, enthusiasm about Jesus coming back. Because the last statement of Jesus in the entire Bible is said that, behold, I'm coming back quickly. And there is the immediate response. Even so, come back quickly. Amen. We are not excited about it because we understand very little. Why am I talking about that? Let's come back to Israel. The third thing about that the Bible talks about, saints that prostrate and worship, is here. When you grasp about this whole mystery of Israel, which is the whole salvation of Israel for mankind. Because when you understand that, you're going to bow down and worship God. Our worship is going to be even more exuberant because it's a response from our heart. That's why go deep in these three chapters. And of course, lastly, the litmus test, which I shared many times, is Romans 12:1. You will pour yourself into reckless abandonment in living for God. I have no time to build on it. This is what it is about. You know, I'm actually, just a brief one, tomorrow I'll talk more about it. I want to challenge each and every one of us in this house. If you only can study three books, actually three books are a lot. Just focus on let's zero in down. Two books, Song of Song and the book of Revelation. Really know these two books inside out. If you have to form small group to go deeper inside, go ahead, form. Iron sharpens iron. If you need me to come once in a while, I will come. Because I'm so convinced that we need to know these two books. That's why I taught through Song of Song actually the entire this year. Now we are entering into the book of Revelation. Let's know this book of Revelation. Because if there's one book that is the most important, of course there are more than one book in this time, it's the book of Revelation. Because it will prepare us to partner with Jesus in this last... You know, every time we read the book of Revelation, we focus on tribulation, which is wrong. Tribulation on the saints is only the secondary theme in the book of Revelation. Partnering in Jesus, in releasing judgment, fulfillment of the Great Commission, and ushering his second coming, and as we trans not transit, transit into the next age. That is the whole theme of the book of Revelation. We need to know the book of Revelation. And I reminded of a dream. I think it's 1st January 2006. I'll talk about it tomorrow. We have not done it yet. But I'm excited. We need to. Okay, let's end.